Good morning and welcome. Thank you. We'd like to thank you for worshiping with us this morning at Jenkins. Are there any announcements this morning?
Patrick, I have a number of announcements, and I don't have my mic on. I think you can normally hear me. You have in your bulletin an insert for a song that's not in our hymnal now, Whosoever Will, and kind of the theme song of Cumberland Presbyterians. Also, the outline is on a separate page, so I call that to your attention. And there should be, and somehow there should be, a litany concerning Denominational Day 2010, or a litany on the back for Denominational Sunday. And we will use this right before the communion service. It's not listed in the bulletin, but we use this right before the communion service. And then today, the Cumberland Presbyterian Church is 200 years and 3 days old. It's February the 4th, 1810, that the three founders of the church were meeting in Dixon County, Tennessee, in what is now Montgomery Bell State Park. They reconstituted a presbytery. They had been dissolved by Kentucky Synod and tried to gain interest back into that presbytery, but it didn't happen. So they continued with the Cumberland Presbyterian Church. There are a number of things on the table out in the vestibule, that writings, history, pamphlets, just different things that you might want to look at and pick up. There is also a number of copies of the Confession of Faith, and the Confession of Faith is available. If you don't have one, take one with you and read all about it. This afternoon, at 3 o'clock, we will gather at the 1100 block of Nashville Highway in Columbia. Columbia, Tennessee, 1100 block of Nashville Highway, and to celebrate the 200th birthday of the Cumberland Presbyterian Church. We're going to have a worship service at 3 o'clock. Our youth are going to do a skit. It may, I'm not even sure what point they are. It may be a reading skit, but they're going to be there at 5 or 6 or 7, I'm not sure, all the parts they were concerning the founding of the church, and have some old-time singing, hopefully, and some lining of hymns, and then we'll have a sermon and some refreshments afterward. That's at 3 o'clock at the Columbia Cumberland Presbyterian Church. It's really at the corner of 412 and 31, Highway 31 and 412, but you have to look behind the Waffle House to see it. It's kind of up on the hill behind the Waffle House there in Columbia. I think that's all at this point. There's some sickness. We'll use them in prayer concerns, though.
I'm sorry, I forgot it was the first Sunday of the month, and I was running late, so I apologize. Prayer requests, praise reports.
Maybe other announcements.
Other announcements. Okay, other announcements. Becky.
Okay.
Any other announcements? Yes, sir. Oh, okay. He's on the long term. Okay. Dr. Leishner's leaving again next weekend also. Anybody else? Prayer request? Patrick? Welcome back. We're glad to have you back. Anyone else? Lou Green went home from the hospital yesterday. He had had a slight stroke earlier in the week, was in Williamson, but he went home yesterday. He's doing good. If he gets excited, his speech is still a little slurred, but if he stops and thinks about it, he's almost back 100%. But and continue to pray for me. I've had pneumonia, and I've been thought I was getting better, and then this morning I woke up and I'm coughing and feeling really tight again. So I don't know what's going on with that. So just keep me in your prayers.
Kathleen Wagner in the hospital, doing real good yesterday. So just
okay, Miss Kathleen Wagner.
And I think she can have visitors now. She had a lot yesterday and seemed to enjoy them. I think Ed and Rowena have been real faithful to care for them.
Anyone else? Okay. Let's bow our heads and have a moment of silence and prepare our hearts for worship. Amen. Our call to worship is found in your bulletin. It is responsive. Would you please stand? God's glory is pouring forth from the heavens. Earth below. Where am I at? Oh, never mind. I'm looking at a big thing up here because I forgot my glasses and I thought somebody was good to me and gave me my big sheet. But I was wrong. So, okay, here we go. I'm sorry. We come to worship this day to hear God's call to us. We are afraid because we do not think we are good enough to be disciples. It is by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ that we are healed and made whole. Let us respond with joy to the work God places before us. Hallelujah. Amen. The first hymn is Amazing Grace. It's on the screen above. Thank you.
God, we thank you. We praise you for extending your grace to us. Undeserving we are, but you reach out to us and offer redemption, forgiveness, justification, regeneration, sanctification. And Lord, you do it because of your grace. Lord, we come in faith, and even that you give to us. Thank you for calling us to be a part of your kingdom, a part of your work. And thank you for this privilege of coming together today to celebrate your grace extended to us. And in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray, we pray now as he taught us. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And you may be seated.
Please join together with the Apostles' Creed. It's on the screen, and it's also on page 716 of your hymnals. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Our call to confession comes from Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Our prayer of confession, we're going to use the Ten Commandments as a guide to confession. Silently select one of the commandments and offer a silent prayer of confession. Use the others this week. Amen. Our words of assurance come from Corinthians 15:3. Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures. Hear then Christ's words of grace to us. Your sins are forgiven. Our offertory sentence this morning comes from John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. Would the ushers please come forward?
Becky will lead us in prayer.
In your bulletin, there is a litany for Denomination Sunday. It is responsive. If you'll join with me. As we enter the third century of witness of the people called Cumberland Presbyterians, we humbly petition, O Lord, help us honor, not deify the collective witnesses of those who uncounted, who preceded us.
Renew our memory, O Lord.
Of merging streams of Presbyterian thought as Scottish, English, and Scots-Irish traditions and ideas unified forming something unique in a brand new land.
Renew our memory, O Lord.
Of those intrepid pioneers, both men and women, who courageously answered your call to ministry on the American frontier despite hardship, deprivation, and lack of even the humble comforts of that day.
Renew our memory, O Lord.
Of the consistently progressive or medium theology they achieved through pragmatic means, always recognizing that divine spark within any human spirit.
Renew our memory, O Lord.
Of their passion for education, not only for themselves, but for all people regardless of gender, race, or economic situation, and of the great body of their scholarship.
Renew our memory, O Lord.
Of their passion for education, of our denomination's unique, yet a cog within the wheel of your church universal.
Renew our memory, O Lord.
And ultimately, of the greatest thing of all, the surety of salvation, which is ours through faith in Jesus Christ.
Renew our memory,
O Lord.
Steve? Louise? I'm looking for active elders right now. Sure. Ed, you'll come and assist. Steve, Louise, Ed. Roger? Melanie, are you available? And Charlie. The Lord Jesus, the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is My body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of Me." After the same manner also He took the cup when He had supped, saying, "This cup, it's a New Testament in My blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of Me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till He comes." Jesus was about to be nailed to a cross. His body was about to be broken, with the nails, with the spear, with the crown of thorns. His blood was about to be shed. He was about to give His life that we might have life eternal. He was about to pay for our sins that separates us from God and prevents us from having life eternal, so that through faith we might experience forgiveness of our sin through faith in Him, what He was about to do. He went to the cross, but not before He left a way that those disciples and disciples today, you and I, can remember His mercy, His grace, His love for us, His sacrifice for us. Not that He wanted us to say, "Oh, what a sacrifice He made," but He wanted us to claim what He did in that sacrifice. All who are trusting in Jesus and the death that He suffered or experienced for us to pay for our sins, knowing no sin of His own, all who are trusting in Jesus, we invite you to join us as we eat and drink from His table. Let us pray. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we come this morning with much thanksgiving, humbly approaching Your table and thanking You for a way to remember, but thanking You most especially for what You did for us. Paid for our sins upon the cross. And Lord, we just praise You and honor You and want to glorify You. And as we eat, Lord, of this bread that represents Your body, let it be that serious reminder of Your love for us. In Jesus' name, amen. The body of Christ broken for you. Lord God, Your blood was shed, and we know that in the blood. There was life as today in the blood. There is life. You shed your blood, gave up your life. But through the shedding of your blood, we obtain life. Life eternal, spiritual life. Thank you, God. Bless this cup. And make it for us a remembrance as well as a proclamation of not only your sacrifice, but your love for us, your mercy and your grace extended to all people who will have it. In Jesus' name. The blood of Christ shed for you. Elders, please serve the people.
Today's scripture comes from John 3, verses 14 through 18. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned and already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 says, "The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Song is on your insert. Tidings all the world around. Tell the joyful news wherever man is found. Whosoever will may come. Whosoever will, whosoever will, send the proclamation over vale and hill. 'Tis the loving Father sends her under home. Whosoever will may come. Whosoever come, it need not delay. Now the door is open, enter while you may. Jesus is the true, the only living way. Whosoever will may come. Whosoever will, whosoever will, send a proclamation over vale and hill. Kiss the loving Father, send a wandering home. Whosoever will may come. Whosoever will, the promise is secure. Whosoever will, forever must endure. Whosoever will, the life forevermore. Whosoever will may come. Whosoever will, send a proclamation over vale and hill. 'Tis the loving Father, call the wonder home. Whosoever will may come.
The church is not without controversy. The church has never been without controversy since the earliest days in Jerusalem and throughout the then known world. But God has used the church in spite of the disagreements and in spite of the controversies to bring about salvation for how many people? Countless numbers. The Cumberland Presbyterian Church grew out of a controversy. And we acknowledge that. Sometimes we even kind of brag about it. And maybe that's not the best way to do, but being as we are, people, with the sinful nature that we haven't totally shed, still clings to us, we
kind of brag about it. But the Cumberland Presbyterian Church met with the Presbyterian Church United States of America and the Cumberland Presbyterian Church in America in 2006 to celebrate the establishing of the first presbytery in the United States. And we are an outgrowth of that. Bethel College Renaissance Group and others from the Birmingham, Alabama area, that's where we were meeting, formed a choir, and they were going to sing Whosoever Will. Well, back in 1800, 1806, prior to 1810, not very many wanted to talk about Whosoever Will. They wanted to talk about election and predestination. And some people who were preaching on the frontier, and we will kind of touch on them this morning, Kentucky and Middle Tennessee being the frontier at that time, the western part of the United States almost, or in the western part, come to understand that God chose all to be saved, whosoever will, and rejected the doctrine of predestination. And so out of that came the Cumberland Presbyterian Church. But we went together and celebrated, and the choir sang Whosoever Will. And the big worry was that those other Presbyterians who in time since 1810 have really come to see the light, we say we shouldn't smile about it, except we think they have come to see the light, that Christ died for all and not a part only of mankind, not just the elect, unless all are elected. We were fearful, or some were fearful, that they might be offended at the anthem at a joint worship service of Whosoever Will. Well, when Bethel College then, Bethel University now, when that Renaissance group and the members of the churches in the Birmingham area finished that song, everybody enjoyed it. Throughout the week, those, as some people call them, they call themselves Blue Stocking Presbyterians. They couldn't get over. They enjoyed the Whosoever Will anthem probably as much as we did, us Cumberland Presbyterians. So we're not fighting anymore as they were. I don't know if they were fighting back in 1810, but they were disagreeing. Much of it was personalities as much as theology. Maybe if the personalities had been different, we could have resolved some of the theological differences. But I wasn't there, so I don't know. But the Cumberland Presbyterian Church bases its existence on Jesus Christ and John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whosoever will trust in Him, they have eternal life. I contend that the Cumberland Presbyterian Church goes back to Jesus, and if it doesn't, we're in bad shape. I wouldn't want to be a part of it. We came about as a separate denomination through the Protestant Reformation. I said through the Protestant Reformation, and what are we talking about? Protestants. Who are these Protestants? Well, they were protesters. They were protesting. 1500s. In the 1500s, some of the European Christians began to protest against some of the teachings and practices of the Catholic Church. They were teaching, or so it seems as we look back, and they were, salvation by works. And so the priest, Luther being the one that we know most about, Martin Luther, he understood, thought God revealed to him, salvation comes by faith. They were also teaching temporal forgiveness offered for good works as opposed to eternal forgiveness, and I did a little research on this, and that's kind of confusing. But Luther called for reform in the Catholic Church. Well, it didn't happen. They threw him out, basically. And others followed along. So Luther was in Germany. And Luther read the book of Romans. And he understood that salvation comes by faith in Jesus. In his life, his death, his resurrection. Luther wanted to reform the church, but it didn't happen. And the result was the Lutheran church. Luther promoted the authority of the scriptures as opposed to the authority of a pope. He understood and promoted justification by faith. We are justified by faith in Jesus Christ. And he promoted, understood, basically from the book of Ephesians and the writings of Peter, that all believers are called to be priests, not just the ordained clergy. Some people still want to separate the priest work from the people and leave it upon the ordained clergy, even today. Well, Luther was in Germany, but in France and Switzerland, he moved from France to Switzerland, was a lawyer, John Calvin. And then there was a man in Scotland that had studied under Calvin and went to Scotland named John Knox. I discovered a few years ago, if you want to know Bible history, if you learn the names there and know what order they come in, you can kind of know what happened. And I wish I'd understood this back in seminary. I certainly didn't learn enough names, and my transcript shows it. But even in church history, if you learn the names, you can kind of know church history, but you kind of know where they fit in and what they did. In America, a bunch of Scottish people, a bunch of English people who were Puritans, pilgrims, Puritans, followers of the Westminster Confession of Faith. They came to America for religious freedom. So in America, the First Presbyterian Church, we understand, history tells us, was in 1640. A group of Presbyterians began to meet in the new country. And Francis McCamey was a leader later in the church. And the First Presbytery was formed in 1706. And shortly thereafter, in the 1740s, there was what they called the First Great Awakening. And that was referring to a spiritual awakening. A great revival swept the country, which was the Northeast and the East Coast. But the revival really was in the Northeast, in Harvard, and Jonathan Edwards, and he was preaching, and one of his sermons, do you know what his most famous sermon that we, I guess we all can refer to, do you know what it is? Can you think of it right now? Yes. Sinners in the Hand of the Angry God. And Jonathan Edwards, they said he read his sermons, they said. That's the history. That gives us who take notes to the pulpit a little comfort when those other guys are saying you don't need any notes if the Lord don't speak to you in the pulpit and help you remember you're not really a called preacher. I've dealt with that for 40 years. I think I dealt with it rather well, anyhow. But they said that Edwards read his sermons, but this sermon, Sinners in the Hands of the Angry God, he described people, unredeemed people, as God holding them in a hand, and Chelsea, you spoke up, so I think you, if I get this wrong, you help me here, and I saw a nod over here too from Peggy. He described sinners being in the hands of the angry God, holding them over the pits of hell.
and wanting to. God even angry at them and wanting to dump them into hell. And if they didn't repent, they'd be dumped out into hell, or if he was holding them by his fingers, I guess drop them in hell. I don't know how he described they were holding them. But that was the preaching of the most popular sermon of Jonathan Edwards, the one that I know about the only one I know about, and don't know all about it, but anyhow. So there's a great revival swept through the Northeast, what we'd call New England. And it lasted a while, but after a while, the great revival, the history of God's people, time will run out, but the history of God's people, high religion, bottom out spiritually. High religious time, bottom out spiritually. The book of Judges shows us that in the old people. Close to God, forget God. Close to God, forget God. And kind of even in our own lives, some days we're closer to God, and then some days we're not as spiritual, I guess. In fact, rise and fall, rise and fall. Not that it's right, but that's the way people are. So in 1790, about 50 years after the first great awakening, a guy named James McGrady began to preach over in, he was a North Carolinian, and he went over to, I think it's Hampton Sidney College, is the name of it, in Virginia, and they had a revival, some great things happening on that college campus. He went over, he got really charged up, turned on, went back to North Carolina to preach, and they ran him out of town. He was a Presbyterian. They ran him out of town, essentially. So he came to Kentucky, at Gasper River, up in Logan County. That's close to, not Bowling Green, but a little west of Bowling Green, I think, now. It was frontier. There was Gasper River, Muddy River, and Red River Church. In, I forgot what year, but not too long ago, the General Assembly of the Cumberland Presbyterian Church met at Bowling Green, and they made tours out to, I think, the Red River Meeting House. And Patrick Benz from Kentucky is still in existence, right? They've restored it. And anyhow, he had three churches, and he began to preach and that salvation by faith, and he began to preach that all men were condemned unless they put their faith in Jesus Christ. And evidently he was pretty animated and pretty excitable in the pulpit. Got a lot of people exciting, and they started having revivals around at various churches, and people came, and they'd bring their wagons and horses. They didn't have Cadillacs then, or SUVs. I guess the SUV was a wagon with pulled by horses or mules. They'd pull up, and they'd just camp out around the church. The old, it became what we would refer to as the old camp meeting, but it was a new camp meeting about then. Anyhow, he would preach, and people would get the jerks, whatever that was. They would get, I think what later was referred to as being slain in the spirit. They'd just fall out. Harassers would come by. They'd be having a revival meeting under a brush arbor, and some people would come by to kind of disturb it, the renegades of the community. They're going to come in and disturb the service. Well, they'd come under conviction and become Christians themselves. They didn't understand it. They didn't come for that. And if you read a little of the history of that time, it was possibly a Pentecostal-type meeting 100 years before Pentecostalism rose up again in California at Azure Street, or the speaking in tongues and everything. There's never a reference to speaking in tongues as that in our history, but it was certainly an exciting time. So anyhow, some people in the church says, that's not Christianity, that's a bunch of show. And he's twisting people's arms. It's too much emotionalism. So there became a division between the revival party and the non-revival party. And it ended up, there were some issues, the basic issues that brought about the split from the Cumberland Presbyterians, what became the Cumberland Presbyterians and the Presbyterians, was revival methods. There was an emphasis on personal decisions and regeneration. There was a rejection among the Cumberlands, or that became Cumberlands, or the revival party, maybe we should call them at this time, on
rejection of fatalism or predestination. And they could not reconcile the emphasis on personal decision in that they were preaching in the revival preaching with the doctrine of predestination, that God has chosen some to go to eternal punishment and some to go to eternal bliss in heaven. And fatalism is all events are determined by fate and are unalterable by man, that man has not a choice in it. And then the predestination, the act whereby God is believed to have foreordained all things, and he relegated some souls to salvation and some to damnation. And then election, one definition is predestined to salvation. Then there was a word called foreordained, and it's in the Bible, to appoint or ordain beforehand. They also disagreed on ordination standard for ministries, and this is the one that we've been blamed with for years and years and years, for 200 years really, I guess. The Presbyterians required 3 years of seminary at an Eastern school, and to ride a horse around the frontier, that was not practical, some said, etc., so they rejected that. And then there became a standoff, in other words, and they dissolved the presbytery, and they this is kind of through these ministers who had been ordained without agreeing to predestination and election out to the cold. And they tried to get back in, a long story there. And they finally met February the 4th, 1810, Dixon County, Tennessee, three of them with one licentiate. And incidentally, 30 of us met there to remember and to look for the future Thursday morning at 6 o'clock. So the one point that the Cumberlands established when they organized the presbytery was, number one, that there are no eternal reprobates. Do you know what a reprobate is? Well, it's a scoundrel. Do you know what a scoundrel is? Not words that we use a lot. It's a person who is evil, mean, etc., etc., etc. And some might say of them that they cannot be redeemed. And I've met people that I wanted to think were reprobates and could not be redeemed. But some people have probably looked at me and said, well, that scoundrel, he's hopeless in God's hands. So I can't make those judge. A reprobate is one who is depraved, unprincipled, a wicked person, and sometimes they refer to as drunken reprobates. And then from the predestination side, a person rejected by God and beyond hope of salvation. Well, the revival party ministers and those who formed the Cumberland Presbyterian Church says that nobody is beyond redemption, that God loves all people, God reaches out to all people and offers salvation to all people. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his son that whosoever will may be saved. Whosoever will trust in his son Jesus Christ shall not perish or be lost eternally to God's kingdom, but shall have eternal life. And then 2 Peter, was it 3:9? God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So John 3:16, 2 Peter 3:9. And I think what good news this was to a person lost in sin that everybody had given up on. If they could hear the message that God loves you and gave Jesus Christ to be your Savior. I think of the woman at the well that Jesus ministered to. She was a many times married person, etc., etc., etc. She was surprised that Jesus would talk to her, but he led her to faith in him. I think of the demon-possessed man in Luke, I think it's chapter 8. Or is it 18? Gergesenes or the Gadarenes, whatever gospel you're reading. He lived among the tombs. They bound him in chains, and he was strong enough to break the chains. He scared all the people. He was a terror to the town, and Jesus came and made him whole. Made him whole. It made him a witness to his own community. Sent him back there. Ah. And then, I think of Zacchaeus in Luke chapter 19. Zacchaeus, a tax collector, hated, probably a cheat. He acted like he even confessed that he had taken more in some cases than he should have in taxes, and he had the power to do it. And Jesus came and brought salvation to his house. And to Larry Gewitt, I wasn't supposed to be a minister according to my raising, but God reached down there. And to you. And then the second point, there are no eternal reprobates. The second point, that Christ died not for a part only, but for all of mankind. John 3:16. And then that infants, dying in infancy, are saved through Christ in the sanctification of the Spirit. And the Westminster Confession reads, elect infants. There's an explanatory statement added to it by some groups, but those that still follow the strict original Westminster Confession, and some groups do, that's still written in there. Well, it's written in the other ones, but they have an explanatory statement. I think a declaratory statement is called. And then that the Spirit of God operates on the world, or as coextensively as Christ has made atonement, in such a manner to leave all men or people inexcusable. Or in other words, all persons are responsible to come to Jesus in faith. God doesn't just reach down and say, I choose you, whether you like it or not. He gives us a choice, and we have the responsibility to come to Jesus for salvation. John 3:18-19. I think that explains that. 3:18. 18 is printed, 19 is not, but you can read it. If we don't believe, we're condemned. The Savior is waiting for whoever, whosoever will. This might be the time that you'd say, here I am, Lord. I'm trusting you. 3:29. Let's sing the first verse. 3:29. Please stand. Lord, we thank you for your love to us. And Lord, we proclaim and believe that Christ died for all. And we pray, Lord, that you would keep us mindful of our responsibility to carry that message. Use us to glorify you. Through Jesus Christ, we offer our prayer. Amen. You are dismissed.
up my...